to the Columbia Center for Spiritual Living, a welcoming and diverse community whose vision it is to contribute to a world that works for everyone. The inspirational message you are about to hear will expand your idea of what is possible in life right now and affirm your soul's knowing in taking that right next step towards your greatest good.
Good morning, my beloveds. Good morning. Oh, my heart is so full already. I just want to start today before I begin my talk this morning, because I know we've done some conscious completion in the last couple of weeks with Dr. Reverend Nadine, but I just want to make one last statement in terms of us being together today. And that is that I want to thank Dr. Reverend Nadine for all her steadfast and purposefulness of her commitment to the Columbia Center for Spiritual Living. Remember, she arrived here at a time when we were at a state of change and new beginnings. She showed us what it meant to be and stay united, and that no matter what things look like to us individually and collectively, it was more important to live the Science of Mind principles that we teach here at the Columbia Center for Spiritual Living. So thank you, Dr. Reverend Nadine, for bringing us home. We love you, we appreciate you, and we bless you on your new journey. Oh, just feel that in our hearts as we send out that energy to her, you know. So as we've already talked about in November, we are exploring that everyday wonder of our most familiar place, home. And as you guys know, I'm down here in Florida, and I am in Cape Coral. So we have been the last month in that place of home. So today, as we begin with this overview of the great monomyth that begins and ends at home, it is potentially everyone's journey of self-discovery, of self-mastery, and transformation. Remembering that home is where the heart is. And in the past month, oh my God, I have just seen so many things down here. And if you remember, there was a hurricane that came and just stayed over us for 15 hours. And so many things just blew away into that nothingness of the ethers. But man, in remembering that home is where the heart is, every single day that I go out in my community, I am reminded of that. Even a month after, I am reminded of that. But I want to start by asking you guys if you remember a movie called The Wizard of Oz. Remember that movie? My husband and I have a little joke around here that if he's watching a movie and I go like, oh, I've seen that movie. He goes, how many times have you seen that movie? I said, I've seen that movie a million times. Well, I can honestly tell you that I have seen The Wizard of Oz maybe 100 times, every version of it. And there were 17 versions of that movie. And 9 were in color. I didn't even know that. I just found that out as I was researching things for this talk. And what holds true for me today is that every time I watched that movie, I was in a different place of consciousness. So I started to get different things from that movie that related to me and my growing up and what I wanted for myself and those around me. For example, because of the way I grew up, I always wanted, like Dorothy, to go someplace where there wasn't any trouble. You know, I used to tell my mom, I don't care where we live. I don't care if I grew up in New York City in a 2-bedroom apartment with, you know, 5 kids and 2 adults. And I used to tell my mom, I said, I don't care where we live. I just want some serenity and peace and quiet. I don't want trouble. And then by the time the end of the movie comes, if you recall, she's saying, there's no place like home. That place inside of each and every one of us where we know that our outward search culminates in that greatest of all possible discoveries, finding God at the center of our own being. Remembering that life flows from within you. Through your life experiences, if you remember, the scarecrow wanted a brain representing a new consciousness. The tin man wanted a heart, the center of our being. And the lion wanted courage, letting go of our fears and stepping into something greater, you know. Because eventually, the desire to break free from customs, rules, and limiting beliefs prompt us to set out to explore the unknown, where there's a learning, growth, and evolution, sometimes bigger and greater than we can ever, ever imagine. Throughout the years, if you have followed much of the Science of Month teachings, which I know you guys have, you have no doubt heard the statement, God never closes one door without first opening another. For some people, this is a little more than a cliche, right? I always thought that, you know, growing up, I'd go like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's really true. Think back to the many experiences of your life. Not all of them were at first glance good. However, do you not find many other door miracles which were seeming misfortune proved in the final analysis to be a blessing, where crisis became opportunity and where temporary loss led the way to a permanent gain? Oh, I love that. I love that understanding, because there's been so many of those in my life, so many. And I know there's been so many of them for you guys individually and collectively. In the book of Revelations, we are told, behold, I have set before thee a door open which no man can shut. It was always seemed to me that this door represents your eternal relationship with the infinite, a divine desire to guide you in the complete unfoldment of your inherited potential. Like Emerson's thoughts in his quote, which he says, there is no screen or ceiling between our heads and the infinite heavens. So it is there, no bar or wall in the soul, where man or woman, the effect ceases and the God, the cause, begins. The walls are taken away. We lie open on one side to the depths of that spiritual nature, to the attributes of God. Like Ernest Holmes' book says, open at the top. I love that book. I remember I had to read that book and some of those things in there when we were doing my practitioner training, and just the title in itself just shivered me, you know, open at the top. We need to remind ourselves that the overriding purpose of life is growth. It's already been said in our meditation and our readings, and that growth can come only with change. Life is not a static condition, but a dynamic flow of experience and experiences. The human of us resists change. I know I've always had. You know, but change is a constant in our lives. The only thing that I know has changed is my God, my spiritual essence. So as I said, the human of us resists this change. It seeks to settle down. It tries to hold on to positions and relationships. And sometimes we refuse to give our place to anyone. We just stick our feet in there and just stay grounded into the what is. So to free yourself from this resistance, I'll just give you one little example that I know of, you know, and I think I've only done this once in my life. I'm not a square dance person, but I went one time. And so think of a square dance. Your rightful place in a square dance is certainly not standing still, right? On a certain section of the floor, because there's movement, there's all this stuff going on. That would only get you badly bumped by the other dancers as they move around. Your right place is to heed the direction of the caller and swing freely to the music. So it is with life. We must move forever from experience to experience, situation to situation, ever flexible, always changing in the flow of the ever unfolding process. As Emerson says, God offers to every mind the choice between truth and repose. Take what you please, but you can never have both. Ah, choice. I love that. For the longest time, I didn't know I had that choice, you know, so I just stayed firm on my ideas and beliefs, but I know better today. So though all things change, nothing perishes. You may lose your job, but you can never lose your ability to create, to serve. You may lose your house, but you cannot lose the consciousness which attracted the substance with which to build a new house. Nor the family spirit which made a true home. Right? We've heard that. I've heard that. I remember a house is not a home, right? Without you or me in it. One man, there's a story of a man having lost his home. And we've been hearing a lot of this around here this last month. And all of his possessions in a fire was discovered resting beneath a tree, fanning himself. He announced that he would start rebuilding the following morning. He knew where his true home is. It was deep inside himself. Recently, about a week after the hurricane here in Cape Coral, I was at the Center for Spiritual Living. And, you know, at the end, like we do there at CCSL, the practitioners go up to the top. And this lady walked up to me and she asked to pray. And she had lost everything, her car, her animals, her home, you know, and she was standing there just looking in my eyes and smiling. And at the end of the prayer, and I'm not sure whether I said this word or not, rebuilding, but she said to me that she was not rebuilding her house. She was accepting and focusing on the change that was unfolding for her at this time. And how beautiful it all is, and the freedom that she's feeling. At that moment, I just understood and that she was truly, truly embracing the feeling of coming home to herself. And she and so many others here are living Science of Mind principles right now at this time, in that true, true spiritual gratitude. I'll quickly share a story. The morning after the hurricane, where we were all in our homes, anchored down. At around 8 a.m. in the morning, a lot of us came out of our house into the front yards, and we just all looked at each other and grateful that our homes were still up. And there were some roof shingles that were missing. But what was important was that feeling, that thing inside of us, you know, that mountaintop feeling that we were all alive, and we all just started hugging and holding each other and even crying. But we all just felt that feeling of home at that very moment of being home together. So there are 12 steps to the journey of life that happens in three phases. I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm sure you've heard this. Departure, initiation, and return. During the departure, the child leaves the ordinary world and sets out on his or her call to the adventure, challenge, or quest. Oh my God, I was so excited, you know, to do that. I couldn't wait, right, to get out of that, you know, essence in our home where mom, you have to follow the rules and all that, right? There is generally an initial reluctance to answer the call, which is overcome with the guidance of a mentor. During the initiation phase, the child develops strength and character through the enduring trials, tests, and tribulations with the help of allies and friends found along the way. And boy, did I find a lot of friends and mentors and people that were like, oh, Italia, you know. Yeah, let me share this experience with you so you can learn and grow. And I was grateful. I'm so grateful for all those people. In the final showdown, the child slays his or her own dragon and is gifted with insight that transforms him or her into the hero of his life, thus initiating the return home, home to ourselves, which in the last analysis, that is truly where God is found. At the end of The Wizard of Oz, oh, by the way, did I mention that my favorite Wizard of Oz was, of course, The Wiz, because Diana Ross was in it. Glinda tells Dorothy she always had the power to return home. Like Dorothy, we each have to leave our safe surroundings to find and become all we are meant to be. The journey then reminds us that home, that place where we are known and loved, holy, whole, and free, is the place, the best place to be. And we already have everything we need to get there. So today I'm going to leave you with some of these questions to ponder, to reflect, to contemplate. In what phase do you see yourself? Are you still in your safety zone and afraid to venture out while feeling the push or pull to do and be more? I have to often ask myself that question. Are you living your transcendent purpose? And how are you showing up as an ally or a mentor for others on your journey? And this is really important one for me, because I always thought that I was alone and lived a long time in the isolation of that loneliness. But we don't ever have to be alone. You know, we can always show up and help someone else, and where two or more are gathered, right? And what might help guide you to your next level of growth and evolution? So these are just questions to ponder and to think about slowly and gently, knowing that life is progress. Yesterday, I went to a service at one of our churches here. I've been attending those on Saturday. It's called Cape Christian. And we were reading those breaths of faith. The first one was Christianity. And oh my God, this church is just so full. They have five services, and it's just so full of life. And yesterday, the talk was Science of Mind talk. He was saying that what's in our thoughts and the words that we speak is the way that we show up in the world through our hearts and what our hearts bring out into the world. And I thought that was definitely, you know, the things that I aspire for. And I know the things that you all aspire for. So I'm going to share this poem with you by Hazel Thomas Wright called The Open Door. She says, be still and know whatever may be tied. No door is closed, but another opens wide. A door that opens on a boundless view of blessings, rich in promise, vital anew. Blessings more wonderful than you have known. Dare to step through the door and claim your own. Keep clear your inner vision, thus to see the good awaiting you and constant be. Face each other and face each new venture with a joyful song. Lift up your head and heart. Be valiant, strong. With God as your protector, friend, and guide. No door is closed, but that another door opens wide. Oh, so I can't leave today without a little jingle or song, right? I can't sing, but I like doing this. So, somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, and the dreams that you dream of once in a lullaby. Somewhere over the rainbow, bluebirds fly, and the dreams that you dream of really do come true. Someday I'll wish upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me, where troubles melt like lemon drops above the chimney tops. That's where you'll find me. So remember, CSL, Columbia, my home. This will be my home, always. Home is where the heart is. So welcome home, Columbia Center for Spiritual Living. So let's just take a moment to take all this in and just allow me to pray. As I'm reminded that there is only one power, one essence. This power, this presence, whose circumference is nowhere. It is all around us, above us, below us, and inside of us. It is that very essence, that which is the truth of who we are. If we stop long enough to see, to listen, to hear its guidance, we will always, always stay connected. So we name and claim today that true essence and that meaning of our heartfelt understanding of home being where the heart is. So we give great, great thanks for this time together. So we just lay this prayer upon that law, knowing that it is done, for we are whole wherever we are. And so it is. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you have received a value, we invite you to share this podcast and check out our website, columbiacsl.com, to sign up for our weekly newsletter, providing thought-provoking blogs and details on our upcoming classes and community events. And we always are pleased to hear from you. You can reach us at podcast@columbiacsl.com. Thank you. Blessings on your journey.